Psych Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. As we've heard on shows past, Milwaukee is in something of a food renaissance for restaurants, for ingredients, and simply for the interest of people in what goes onto their plates. Ann Christensen typically writes about restaurants in her role as dining critic for Milwaukee Magazine, but in the May issue, she served as editor for what the magazine hopes is a definitive food lover's guide to the city. Ann Christensen joins us in the studio now to talk about the guide. Welcome back to the show.
Good to see you as well.
You typically write about restaurants, but what you guided and helped bring together was something larger. What was the guiding principle behind the Food Lover's Guide to Milwaukee?
First of all, this is a story that other city magazines have done, and we had looked at LA. Especially on the east, on the West Coast, rather, have done a fantastic job of doing this sort of story. So we thought this is something we need to do, and but ours would need to be different because if you go out to the West Coast, you're dealing with a lot of produce, a lot of fresh things, and that's just really not something that we would do. But, knowing that Wisconsin has all these amazing cheesemongers and great butcher shops and lots of other things, we've got the Spice House here, we've got all these incredible ethnic grocery stores. So we knew that ours was going to take a different tact. But I don't know. I mean, I felt like this is a story that could have gone on and on and on. It's just how do you cap it off? I felt like the overriding principle was not so much a person who likes to go out to a restaurant, but someone who likes to entertain and likes to cook.
Well, and you write about the kind of delicious, if I can use that word, irony of going after the perception of Milwaukee as a meat and cheese kind of place by spotlighting what's right about the meat and cheese scene.
Well, I that's something that we would never shy away from, even though there might be this stereotype that, Wisconsin is all, cheese and meat and those sorts of things. But when you look at awards, and the cheese competitions, I mean, Wisconsin is always up there. And we're not just talking about cheddar. I mean, I spotlight cheeses that you wouldn't normally think of, in relation to Wisconsin. We always think of cheddar or Colby or something like this. But we're talking some really interesting cheeses, really, somewhat unusual and different. And
there's something called a quark cheese.
There's a quark cheese that's made at Clock Shadow Creamery here in Milwaukee, which is one of the few cheeses that's actually made here. And honestly, if you haven't been to Clock Shadow, it's a really fun place because there's Purple Door ice cream. So they're making ice cream right there. There's a woman named Martha who's doing this incredible – I think it's really good. It's called pimento cheese.
This is Martha Kipchak.
Right. And that's it's just a really great spread. And what a fun little place. And if you're into food, it's a great little journey, and you can go and kind of watch them make their products and sample.
Well, and we should clarify the point here that not all of the cheeses that you feature, in fact, most of them, are not actually made in Milwaukee. They are, however, made in Wisconsin.
Well, the key to that, though, was that you could get it here in Milwaukee. There would be enough stores where you could buy it, right? So, or even, there are a lot of products that I included that you may even see on a restaurant menu. For instance, one of the things I was really excited about doing was what we ended up calling the ultimate Wisconsin artisanal cheese plate, which I thought was really fun because, I think that, people don't know maybe what to put on a cheese platter, which cheeses would complement each other and which textures should I have and maybe what kind of charcuterie, can I get a really great jam or a honey or something like this? And so, I was just looking around and looking for things that were locally made and the quality was just there. And so then just slowly kind of assembling things. But there's a smoked trout on that plate, which is from Palmyra, an amazing little trout farm. And, that's obviously not one of the Milwaukee-based ingredients, but that's one that is fantastic, and I loved having it on that platter.
Do you think the attention to quality has always been here? Many of the places that are featured in this story aren't new shops or new products. They have been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's also we kind of have a running ticker at the bottom of a two-page spread where we just have these products such as Ma Bench Herring, which everybody knows, And I mean, there's definitely things that people are going to recognize on there. But, Sassy Cow Milk, Yuppie Hill Eggs, those aren't, you know, those don't have the longevity of Mob Bench, but they're things, those are products people have come to know.
Right, we're used to seeing them on the shelf at the grocery
store. Exactly. Whether it's Outpost or even in some of these cases, you're going to get this at Pick and Save. Definitely Mob Bench is available everywhere. And that just, I think that just goes to show how popular those products have become.
When you sent people out, you compiled some of these and some of your fellow editors compiled some of these. What were your instructions to make this authoritative? I mean, this is not just a shopping list.
No. You know, for instance, with butcher shops, I had another editor who was really gung-ho on doing this. This was his thing and he really wanted to do it. And I said, well, you know, you're going to be driving everywhere. You have to go to these places and pick up what you considered. Well, I'm going to tell you, first of all, I'm going to give you a list of some things I want you to buy while you're there, and also scope out some things that maybe the butcher said, hey, this is really fantastic, you should try this. So he was going around buying these things, sampling them, and it came down to quality. That's what it came down to. And so we weren't just trying to do a laundry list of stores in here. It came down to which ones, you know, met our standards. So, but I was really, you know, I was on people to, you know, really to visit all these places and pick up enough stuff. And it was actually a really fun couple months in the office because a lot of things were being, you know, purchased and brought back, like baked goods and chocolates.
I was going to say chocolate figures.
Yeah, but even you should have seen the editors who were gnawing on, sausages and some of our editors are really, you know, myself included, really likes a good
right, like a jerky.
A jerky, absolutely. In fact, driven by our sports guy Howie Magner, who was very, very vocal about what he likes in a jerky. We were all eating these things, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when you bring it in house and people share, and you've got a lot of opinions going, and. I think, you know, writers and editors are by their nature very opinionated people. So it was a fun process.
He's not in the studio with us, but what does Howie like in a jerky?
The texture has to be just so. I mean, it has to be chewy, but not so much so that your jaw is really, you know, is like, you know, numb afterwards. For him, I think he doesn't like it too spicy. He likes it to have a lot of flavor, but kind of – and smoky. He likes smoky. That's at least what he's told me.
it's some of it is a little intimidating. You read about an 18-year balsamic vinegar or a quark cheese or a tile fish. How user-friendly are these places in helping you with ideas to take these products from just being ingredients to being usable ingredients?
Right. Well, that's what's kind of fun about it. When you mentioned the balsamic, there are a couple stores in Milwaukee where you can go and sample – they're typically sort of olive oil stores.
Right.
That's what they specialize in. They have vinegars as well. But those are the kind of places where you walk in and right away they're gonna give you a little paper cup and say, you need to taste this. It's the only way you can decide what to buy. And so it's interesting to taste, I mean, olive oil by itself, because it's something that maybe people don't often do. But a lot of them are infused, you know, with herbs and things like that. And they're really, really fun and delicious. And there's truffle oils. And once you try these things, I think you become a little bit more, if you're a little gun shy, you get a little bit more adventurous. And you're like, I think I want to serve this with my bread and cheese. And I'm going to use it as a dipping oil or whatever the case might be. But a lot of them, a lot of those types of shops are particularly great at giving you suggestions of how to use the oils, what they go well with, pairing ideas and things of that nature.
It's really an eye-opener to think of it as just, you know, not just another thing to put in your skillet to fry your eggs or your or to, you know, make chicken with.
And another, you know, one of the stores that I love is the Spice House, and there's also Penzies, which are, you know, different branches of the same family. But if you go to that store, I mean, these people are used to having customers walk up to them and say, how do I use this? Or I want to really great cinnamon, or I need a salt, you know, really unusual salt. And that's one of the things I think is really fun. There are all these different kinds of salt, you know, Himalayan salts and truffle salt. I mean, porcini mushroom salt. These are amazing. And I mean, that's not something you're going to get in the grocery store. So it's like getting you out of going to Pick and Save and going to some of these specialty stores that have such, you know, fantastic products.
Were there aspects to the scene that surprised even you as this came together? Or does anything surprise you at this stage?
No, they do. They absolutely do. You know, actually, I've been surprised. I'm always surprised. I think probably on a daily basis by, you know, every place that I go is really interesting to me. But You know, we found this guy. For instance, there's also classes in here. You know, how do you – you could go to Glorioso's and learn more about, I don't know, cooking Italian food or sausages, things of that nature. But there's a guy in Mequon who can teach you how to make cheese. And, you know, not just a cheddar cheese. You're going to have blue cheese, gorgonzola, you know, ricotta, butter. I mean, he's showing you how to do all these things. And I thought that was actually pretty fun. I mean, you know, people that are really into, cheeses, I think sometimes maybe they don't realize how easy it is from what I've heard. I haven't done it to make these things, you know, and bring them home. And then they can actually do this at home. So I think there's surprising things that way. The ethnic grocery stores are always really interesting and surprising to me. And, you know, again, I had one of our editors as a little bit of a, you know, a guide going around to these places, someone who a woman who actually spent a lot of time in India. So she was particularly great in the Indian grocery stores, but just fantastic things that she was taking photos of and what she was buying and bringing into the office. Those to me are fascinating and interesting and surprising.
Right. It struck me as I read about the ethnic grocery stores that really you could be from almost any part of the world right now and still in Milwaukee have access to many of the ingredients that you would be used to.
Absolutely. And in actually assembling some of the products that we photographed for the ethnic grocery stores, some of the things were actually products that were made right there. And that's what we really liked because it localized it.
But at the same time, there are pre-made, you know, there are manufactured goods from India or from that I think people would also be used to. And that's actually, it strikes me, being reflected in some of the pick and saves and in the Sendiks and Sentries of the Milwaukee area, that their ethnic sections are now expanding.
Are growing, absolutely. And places like Woodman's, which are becoming more popular for those types of things. One of the things I didn't include, and at some point down the line I'd really like to do, is get into more products for people that have maybe dietary restrictions and gluten allergies and things of that nature. But it didn't seem to fit in with this. And plus, you know, we had 12 pages and we filled them easily. So somewhere down the line, I think that'll happen.
Another aspect of this I wanted you to touch on, you did touch on it briefly, is fish. That there mm-hmm. are now several really sharp fish stores, fish markets in the Milwaukee area, and it is not necessarily just fish from Lake Michigan.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, one of the places I really like is Empire out in it's actually Milwaukee. I don't think it's actually Elm Grove, but it's sort of borderline
it's like
there.
Milwaukee, yeah, Wauwatosa, Elm Grove.
But anyway, they always have great stuff, and you can sign up and get their newsletter. I get it. It comes on, you know, a couple times a week, and you can go right on their website and see what is fresh today. Same with St. Paul Fish. You know, you're getting these, you know, incredible, you're getting, you know, maybe it's salmon or it's fresh, it's halibut season, or you've got soft shell crab, or you want scallops, like the best scallops. I mean, I'm not going to go to a grocery store for that stuff. I don't do that. So, I think it was good to kind of have that segment in here. And the place that we featured, the Palmyra Trout Farm, that has the smoked fish, also has salmon, and they also fresh trout as well. And some of those shops will carry that. Empire does. So it's yet another, there's a little bit of a tie in there.
It strikes me that maybe the real story behind all of this is the normalization of this scene.
The normalization of...
Like just the fact that it is really part of, like, foods like this are part of the eating vernacular.
Of the everyday life.
Yeah.
Well, for a lot of people, they are. And I think, just as we talked about some of these products that are finding their way onto conventional or mainstream grocery store shelves, they are becoming more mainstream. You know, at one point in time, like Larry's Brown Deer Market is a big favorite of mine, and I think their cheese selection is fantastic. But, you know, some of those, you know, other stores like Glorioso's Glorioso's has always been great. It's gotten better since they opened their new location. But there's an Outpost. These places are starting to stock a lot more products. So you don't have to just go to one specific little place to do that, although I would definitely say go to Larry's. It's a fun store.
And I will confess, I have not yet been there. And I am ashamed to say that.
No, it's you will go in and it's kind of sensory overload because it's a small store and there's... tons of stuff in there, and plus they have a little deli. So
it is really an amazing scene, and you brought it together so well. Ann Christensen, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.
Ann Christensen is senior editor and dining critic at Milwaukee Magazine. She is also our regular restaurant contributor. The magazine's Food Lover's Guide is the cover story in the May issue. There is a link to it from wuwm.com. Another break now, and in just a moment, we'll chat with Bill Tyson on the eve of his last production at the Skylight Music Theater. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.